GOB 84, Eat the Rich. Jonathan Swift of Gulliver fame wrote his famous tract, A Modest Proposal for Preventing the Children of Poor People from Being a Burden to Their Families or Country, and for Making Them Beneficial to the Public, advocating that the rich should buy and eat the children of the starving Irish. It was an ironic attempt to show up the British rich for their attitude to the poor. It seems that our elite has a long history of doing what they wish, regardless of the sensitivities of the majority. UK ministers who issue buzzard-killing licences to protect shooting interests do so despite an overwhelming public antipathy. Or should that be apathy? It irks me beyond all reason that the great caring British public loudly proclaim their hatred of the ill-treatment of pets and livestock, but seem far less vocal when it comes to protecting the wild world, which, if there is any justice, should be treated at least as well as farm stock or fireside cats. We can be outraged by the notion that some Romans like to eat snails fattened on milk, peacocks' brains and flamingos' tongues. The public issues steam from its collective ears when mention is made of foie gras, the luxury food made from the liver of a duck or goose that has been horribly force-fed. Is our hour saved up for Johnny Foreigner, or our limited supply of sympathy exhausted once pets have been protected from cruelty and farm animals humanely dispatched? Maybe we only understand ill-treatment of wild animals when it's straightforward. There is reckoned to be something like 75% of the population against hunting fox and deer with dogs. Parliamentary elites may seek to make the illegal practices that continue legal again, but there seems to be enough among them to stop that from happening. Would there be enough public outcry if there was not? Here in my home conurbation, there is a presence of protesters, as permanent as a peace camp against live exports. They will not allow sheep and cows to suffer in European slaughterhouses, and would, no doubt, carry on the fight into French goose farms had we not decided to Brexit away from the rest of Europe. How is it, then, that it is left to vocal minorities to rail against driven shoots and grouse moor hen harrier slaughter? The inane killing of golden eagles, red kite and other birds of prey that have the temerity to drift over captive-reared pampered pheasants and red-legged partridges, or worse still, set up house on a grouse moor, seemingly hardly noticed. It seems to matter little that a tiny percentage of wealthy individuals manage moorland in ways that add to flood risk. Just as it used to be considered acceptable that huntsman horses could ride roughshod over even those farms which are utterly against the practice, so long as adequate compensation was paid. Thanks to the hard work of a dedicated band of birders whose names you will not know, and a vocal group of well-known conservationists who are willing to put themselves on the front line, the movement gathers pace. It would take a very small change in the law to stop raptor persecution. If licenses were needed for all game shooting, that would be irrevocably revoked if ever any evidence was found on their land of raptor persecution, no matter by whom. I wonder how many shoots would survive. I've long aired my dislike of all hunting and shooting, but even I can accept that there are some well-run shoots that manage their land brilliantly for pheasants and partridge, as well as for passerines, waders and wildfowl, which are positively awash with raptors. They prove absolutely that it can be done, and that eliminating birds of prey is as outmoded as eating banquets of bittern and sending all the able-bodied paupers to the workhouse.